This evening to the meeting. Hopefully everybody can hear me clearly. Everyone should ensure their mobile telephones are off or switched to silent and the use of the mobile devices for recording is permitted. Members of the public should not speak during the meeting and may be temporarily excluded for discussion of in-committee items. Members of the public and press must refrain from using the instant messaging facility during the meeting, and anyone found doing so will be given a warning. Failing to adhere to the guidelines for a second time would result in being removed from the meeting. I would remind members of their obligations under the Councillor's Code of Conduct to declare any financial or significant non-financial interests which they have in any item of business before the committee today. If you have such an interest, please either declare it now or immediately before the item itself, stating the item of business it relates to. Having declared an interest, members should leave the chamber or hang up from the call for the duration of discussion on that item and should not take part in the vote. You will then be invited back to join the meeting once the discussion on that item has ended. The proceedings of the meeting will be audio and video recorded, except where Council is considering any exempt matters. The recording equipment is linked to the microphone system on the computer, so please ensure your microphone is switched on before speaking. Members are reminded they're personally responsible for any comments they make at the meeting. And please ensure if you wish to speak on an item either in the chamber or via Teams, use the chat facility to indicate your wish to speak and I'll bring members in as listed. I would remind members to keep their instant messages to the following letters. Q, if you wish to ask a question, or C, for comment. P, if you want to propose, and S, if you wish to second. Please refrain from making any other comments using the instant messaging facility. If you need to leave the meeting early, please indicate via chat facility so we are aware this is an active decision and doesn't indicate connectivity problems. Okay, so do we have any apologies this evening?
Yeah, apology from Councillor Lewis.
Councillor Lewis.
And from Marie Ward as well.
And Marie Ward.
And apology from Declan Murphy.
Declan, thanks, Una.
And I think Councillor Howe's off as well.
Yeah, I think she might try and log on, but no, it's just sent apologies. Okay, so have we any declarations of interest? Nope. Okay, so if we move on to item 3, it's the action sheet arising from the SPNR committee held on the 17th of November 2022. So just go through it for accuracy, and it's page 1, 2, 3, and 4, and if we could have a, on 5, sorry, if we could have a proposer and seconder for the action sheet. Proposed by Councillor Sharvin and seconded by Councillor McGuinness and no matters arising. Thank you. Okay, so item 4 is a notice of motion, social model of disability, and this is for decision.
Sorry, can we just check that everybody can hear that's off, that's online at home?
Can you all hear online?
Yep.
Anybody help them?
Yeah.
Thank you. Okay. So we're going over to Colin Moffat then for item 4. I think this motion was taken by Councillor Taylor.
Yeah, that's true.
Councillor Taylor had brought the notice. Obviously, the notice of motion was referred to the Strategy and Policy Committee in accordance with Standard Order 16.1.6. What's really set out within the report is the relevant legislation behind much of this, which is essentially the Disability Discrimination Act 1995, also the context of our statutory duty responsibilities under Section 75 and our disability statutory duties. The key issues, this is obviously an officer report based on the notice of motion, but what is within the report is that the actual notice of motion itself does reflect Council's corporate Section 75 and disability duties, responsibilities and the commitments and the positive actions that are set out within our equality scheme, our equality action plan and our disability action plan. And the next item I probably didn't care, but deals with elements of that. Just to also say, you know, our draft, I call the action plan, disability action plan, which have been tabled tonight, contain positive actions related to realising the broad context of the notice of motion. And there are specific actions you can point to in some respect, such as a review of council facility to ensure they're accessible to all members of the community, maintaining the current shop mobility scheme that's delivered at Newcastle and through the Newcastle Centre, developing the corporate website to ensure accessibility requirements are all in place, refreshing the consultation engagement framework, which is all about how we engage with not just people with disability, but the broad equality categories, like 9 equality categories, and all policies are equality screened before council approval and implementation. So really, the recommendation is that you consider the notice of motion, noting the context of the officer report that confirms it broadly reflects council's corporate responsibilities at present.
Thank you, Colin. Councillor Taylor, do you want to come in, obviously?
Yeah, sure. Thanks very much. Chair, listen, I obviously acknowledge the content of the report and also some of the actions, you know, that have been outlined in terms of the Equality Action Plan that address some of the concerns. I think, though, we could do maybe with obviously putting a bit more meat in the bones in some respects in terms of some of the recommendations, because I'm obviously conscious that we have a responsibility under the Disability Discrimination Act to, you know, make reasonable adjustments for disabled people, and this should be an anticipatory duty, you know, where the council should try and anticipate those needs within any service that we offer. We also have duties obviously under Section 75 to pay due regard to the need for promotion of equality of opportunity, including for disabled people, as has been acknowledged in the report. And again, these are continuing duties that the council should consider any new information which may impact on equality of opportunity or indeed good relations. So I would like to suggest another some maybe additional points here. And whilst I acknowledge there will be a review of council facilities, I think we do need a full accessibility audit of, you know, the council facilities that we have, and indeed some of those other facilities where we are involved within a project as a council, not just council property, and know that there should be a timeline for those completion, for the completion of that as well, so that we can see that there is real action being taken in that regard, and we can see the progress that can be achieved, you know, by carrying out a full accessibility audit. And I'm assuming, obviously, that, you know, this will take in, for instance, play parks as well. You know, an example, you know, in terms of accessible play equipment, is just to seek some clarification on that. And whilst it does mention about engaging with people, I'm obviously, you know, keen and anxious that we engage with everybody that's required, and that we should, you know, look at, you know, a co-design stakeholder forum, the establishment of something like that, where we can, you know, that can assist the council in terms of delivering full accessible facilities. And I think it's important that we do work on that and look at the list that maybe we currently have, and is there any way of expanding on that and improving that in any way. So I'd like to make those recommendations as part of the report that's included, and I thank officers and officials for the work that they've done so far, but I think we could, you know, do just a bit more, because it's not enough just to do enough to meet the lawful requirements. I think we should always stretch ourselves to make sure that we're doing everything that we can to ensure that our facilities and services are fully accessible to everybody within the community. So just like that, them couple of comments and recommendations within the report that we have there presented this evening.
Okay, thank you, Councillor Taylor. Councillor McMurray in the chamber.
Thank you, Chair. I'll not elaborate too much more on Councillor Taylor's remarks. I was happy to second this at the full council, and I suppose I would echo a lot of what Councillor Taylor has already said. And again, I suppose really, speaking from my own personal mind, it's easy to see that, accept that, you know, there's blind spots sometimes, and that, you know, with councillors exploring the social model of disability, it may go some way to removing said blind spots and increasing accessibility, because ultimately, the social model is an alternative way of understanding access issues and social exclusion, and sees the problem as a disabling world. The social model explores why our society does not treat all its members as equal. And again, just picking up on some of the points, again, having read through, again, this maybe is more to the next agenda item, but certainly, you know, good to see the review process and what is the process there? Essentially, the question being, what is the process there? If someone is an issue or can be improved upon, how is that sort of going to be dealt with by ourselves? And again, within more of the draft disability document, the key stakeholders, you know, again, how can that, how can that be ensured that all groups, all relevant groups, how, you know, it's kept updated, it's kept relevant, and that everybody, that people that need to be on that are on that. It was encouraged to hear Councillor Taylor's suggestion around that. And then finally, just again, when it comes to complaints, just again, how those are dealt with, and then how they can be enacted upon to improve what needs to be improved upon. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Andy. Councillor Morrow?
Yeah, thanks, Miriam. And just on the back, a few things Davey said, happy to support. I think it's a lot of sense. And I think the council should always have an anticipatory role. He's right. You know, where it can be identified that there's not suitable access for all our citizens, or there's any sort of fall, you know, we're falling short in any way, whatever, it should be called out once, you know, it should be reported to the council, and then we should be acting and acting and acting, and then, and only then will it be seen to be a council that represents everybody in the district. So yeah, happy to support. Come on, David.
Yeah, Councillor Sharvin.
Yeah, Chair, just to add our party support for the motion. I think the council is certainly leading in many ways, particularly through our assessment of even beach access, which we most of us on this committee will be aware of from AHC as well. And if there is opportunities to improve the accessibility to not just our facilities, but the facilities across the district, that we should do that. So our party's happy to support this.
Okay. Do you need Colin to come back on any of that, or be content?
Chair, we've obviously made a couple of additional recommendations there, and have sent detail of that. Obviously, it includes not just our facilities, but those facilities where we have worked on projects in conjunction with others, as well. So, obviously, if we are working with someone, we need to ensure that, obviously a local government authority, that we're ensuring that any facility that we have any involvement with is meeting all those requirements. So, them additional points should be included in the most. And obviously, we would be looking at an update in terms of the progress of this in the coming weeks and months as well, in terms of how it's progressing.
Right, well, just for clarity, for the purposes of the meeting, then we're happy, you're happy to propose the paper as it stands, and the additional recommendations will be full accessibility, auditable council facility. I'll read it out just for the purpose to make sure everybody's content. Full accessibility, auditable council facilities, detail in any required action, and also the timeline for completion of such. This should include the likes of play parks, for example, accessible play equipment, A co-designed stakeholder forum be established to support and assist council in ensuring they are delivering fully accessible facilities, and also that a co-designed stakeholder list be developed who are engaged on accessibility within council facilities. Content with that, then? Okay, so Councillor Taylor, you've proposed it, and Councillor McMurray, you're happy including the amendments, Okay, so if everybody's content, then, Good, okay, that's brilliant. Okay, thanks, Colin. And then item 5, then, on the agenda, the statutory duty compliance, the A Draft Equality Action Plan 2023-27 and the Draft Disability Action Plan 2023-27. And we're back over to Colin Moffat for this item.
Thank you, Chair. We've circulated the two draft documents. I'll just want to speak to the Equality Action Plan. As per the Council's Equality Scheme / Section 75 statutory requirements, Council is required to develop an action plan to promote equality of opportunity and good relations. And the Equality Action Plan is set out actually under the Local Government Staff Commission's Equality and Diversity in Local Councils framework. And it does set out key areas of activity and details positive actions relevant to the Council's functions. The Draft Disability Action Plan itself, as set out in Section 1.4, it sets out that the disability statutory duties and the Council is required to have a plan and how those to fulfil these. Both the draft action plans that do build on the two previous council plans. Section 2 of the report sets out the pathway to finalising the plans for submission to the Equality Commission for Northern Ireland. Well, I would say these plans already have been considered by the senior management team, corporate management team, and what we're looking for is it's recommended for approval tonight to allow us then to go to a further 12-week public consultation in the new year. And what's also in the report is we're looking to co-join this with a consultation on the Irish language strategy as well. So it's a it's not really a cost-saving measure, but it's an appropriate way to maybe do consultation work, hoping to maybe link it up with the community planning consultation and potentially the community facilities consultation as well.
Okay, thank you, Colin. We have a proposal from Councillor O'Mara, seconded by Councillor McMurray. Did you want to speak on item, Barra?
No, just on the very last thing that you said, I totally agree. It's a good idea to do a couple of consultations together. That's dead on. As long as none of them get, the water doesn't get muddied with what you're trying to do. So if there's going to be a public consultation on the Equality Action Plan or on the Disability Action Plan and the Irish Language Strategy Plan, you want to make sure that they're all set aside from each other and everyone knows exactly what they're at. You know, that one doesn't go in to fill out one and just tick box the other one, you know, so we just be careful the way you market that.
Just to say, it's more about that it saves you one advert. That's really what I'm trying to say, as opposed to putting multiple adverts in the paper to advertise that we're undertaking a public consultation. There'll all be singular, standalone consultation processes with documents to be completed responses.
Okay, thanks for clarifying that. Andy, did you want to speak to it, or are you just happy in a second? Okay. Well, don't see anybody else coming in on that, so thanks, Colin. Item 6 is the draft Irish language strategy, and we're staying with Colin for that item.
I'm sure you're sick listening to me tonight. This draft Irish language strategy builds upon the strategy 20-23. It's underpinned by the bilingualism policy, and there's a twofold mission and vision set out. We've retained the two strategic objectives, which are, the first one is about the development of Irish language itself, and the second strategic objective is about encouraging capacity building within the Irish language community. I'm not going to be going through the action plan, just to say, again, it's been through the process of consideration and scrutiny from the corporate management team, the senior management team, and also the Irish Language Strategy Working Group. The highlights within it, these positive actions, primarily centre around training and capacity building, and which is threefold in terms of employee, elected member, and systemic, in some respect regarding the systems within council. Visibility of bilingualism in terms of brand identity, the website, online channels, programme of activities, be it Seachtain na Gaeilge, also financial assistance, which is really equivalent to the Irish Language Bursary Scheme, which is for individual development of people, and also translation. What we'd be looking to is improve the systems internally for service delivery of translation of documents, so that can be processed maybe better or more efficiently in the future. The next steps, maybe what I outlined in the previous item, we'd be looking to go to seek approval of this draft document so we can proceed to a 12-week consultation period and then bring that back for further approval through SPNR.
Okay, thank you, Colin. Councillor O'Mara, you're proposing the paper and then you want to make a comment.
Yeah, and Colin, yeah, thanks a million for laying that out for us. And as you said, this was dealt with at the Irish Language Strategy Working Group, the cross-party working group. And I suppose we had eyes on it for a good week before it, so we were able to go away and get this checked out and crossed to see was it fit for purpose and was it the next step based on the strategy that we had up until 2023. And yeah, you're right, it's about capacity building, so it's about identifying what we're doing right. It's about mainstreaming the use of the Irish language in internal administration, that's one part of it. But it's about capacity building, both internal in the council and externally, so in your user groups, and this isn't everybody in the district, this is the user groups who apply to the financial assistance scheme or who benefit from the scheme Cún of Airgid, the bursary scheme. So those people that you're just getting better every year, that they're being assisted by the council in capacity building. So I think Council has a lot to be proud of for the good work being done with regards to the Irish language strategy in the last 4 years, and certainly the next 4 years look very positive in terms of development of the language within Council. Cormagat.
Thanks, Farah. Councillor McGuinness, you're happy to second, and then we have a comment from Councillor Sharvin and then Councillor Taylor. Go on ahead, Gareth.
Yeah, Chair, I was going to second it there as well, but I didn't put an S, I just put a comment, I suppose. But yeah, look, I was going to say, similar to Barra, certainly since the financial assistance and the capacity building that the council have been doing for the Irish language, and you'll be aware of this as well, Chair, particularly in Downpatrick DA, that has enabled not only Irish language groups to build on their infrastructure, but it's also enabled local clubs right across our DEA to offer Irish language courses and to reach a wider audience. Obviously, people have a choice, and it's good that they have it. I think also something that's really good in it is the 6 monthly monitoring reports. You know, we need to continue to track that we're having as much impact as possible, not just only in this area, but across our district. So we need to continue to review, is the plan meeting its target? And if not, what do we need to do to change it to help achieve it? So that's all I want to say, Chair.
Okay, thank you. And yeah, you're quite right. The Irish language is extremely vibrant in this area, and declaring an interest, my own child benefited from going to the Gaeltacht last year, and is planning to go again this year. And she was able to, benefit from some of the financial assistance. And I know the Gaeltacht actually sold out of spaces this year. They weren't even able to get, all the children that applied couldn't even get onto it. But locally, it's thriving as well. So well pointed out. Councillor Taylor.
Chair, sure, thank you. Chair, listen, just a couple of comments. I've previously raised concerns about the implementation of the strategy and what they've noted again. And it's really just a number of issues in the report. I think the first one is the assessment that this won't require additional resources. I think the reality is it will. Any strategy that is seeking to expand or be enhanced will ultimately require additional resources. So I think that isn't an accurate assessment that's included in the report to state that. And also the other bit where it states that it won't have an impact on community relations. Yeah, I think that won't be the case either. I think that there will be an impact on community relations. I think there's obviously a concern, and whilst we have seen over the last number of years some money given to the events, like the Jubilee and the Centenary of Northern Ireland, I think that's a small portion compared to what's given in terms of other money, and this obviously takes a significant resource. And it's not about denying people the right to develop their love or their desire to learn the Irish language. I just think disproportionately there's a lot more support given to this than there is any, for instance, Ulster Scots or PUL activity, and I've raised that previously as well. So I just have a bone of contention really regarding those comments in the report, and I want that noted. Ultimately it will go to consultation, because I know that councillors here will vote for that tonight, but I just feel, whenever we are, been presented with these reports, that it should be honest about. I don't agree with the assessment that it won't have an impact on community relations, but people will draw comparisons about the level of support that's required and offered to different cultural activities, and that's where we are. But I want those concerns noted, Chair, before we proceed with anything.
Yeah, we can note them. Councillor O'Mara?
Yeah, I wasn't planning on coming back in, but just, I suppose, to address some of Davey's comments. Yeah, it doesn't always cost money to do something better. I'm thinking about, if you're driving a car, you can drive it better without having to change your car. If you're teaching children, you can teach them better by trying a wee bit harder. And what we're talking about in the Irish language strategy is everybody just trying a wee bit better. Everybody has, I suppose, built capacity for the last 4 years, whether it's the Irish language group in Lacal, whether they have been able to employ a full-time officer with fund, external fund, not from the council. They should be able then to bring more people in for classes. And that's what we're talking about by capacity building and by making it bigger. It's not, we don't need any extra resources, we don't need any money, any extra money for this. That's not what it's about. You talked about it being disproportionate, but the funding for the Irish language being disproportionate. You could argue that there's £50,000 a year set aside for the Irish language. All the other millions of pounds are set aside for the English language. Now you're saying, you're trying to compare the Irish language to the Queen's Jubilee, and you're trying to compare the Irish language to the, you mentioned the PUL and Ulster Scots, which is a dialect. So neither of the two of them are languages. So whenever we're talking about trying to develop a language, the Irish language strategy, the only comparison to that in this district is the English language or other languages. So it's not about culture, it's not about history, it's not about tradition, it's just about language, pure language and capacity building for language. So £50,000 in the whole of the council budget, I could argue that it's disproportionate, that there's a lot more money spent on educational resources in English language than there is in the Irish language. But I'm not going to go there. I'm just saying I wouldn't be comparing it to the Queen's Jubilee or to the PUL community or to Ulster Scots.
Okay, thanks, Barra. If anybody else is looking to come in, we have a proposer and seconder. Okay, well, okay. So not everybody's in agreement, so we'll have to go to a vote. Are you happy with the roll call? Yeah. Yeah. So we're going to do a roll call vote.
Councillor Byrne.
Four.
Councillor Gallagher.
Four.
Councillor Gibbons is absent. Councillor Hanlon.
Four.
Councillor Hannah is absent. Councillor Hyle and Councillor Lewis are absent. Councillor McGuinness.
Four.
Councillor McMurray.
Four.
Councillor Murphy's absent. Councillor Murray.
Four.
Councillor Rice.
Four.
Councillor Sharvin.
Four.
Councillor Taylor.
Against.
And Councillor Traynor's absent. So that's 8-4 and 1 against.
Okay, so the draft Irish language strategy is passed over then, okay. We'll move on to item 7. So it's performance improvement audit and assessment 2022-23. And Jared's going to take this item.
Thank you, Chair. So, members, the cover report is a summary of the Northern Ireland performance improvement audit and assessment report for 2022-23. So the detailed document is at Appendix 2. I'll take the document as read and just cover the key issues, if that's okay. So at Section 2.2, the audit opinion is detailed. The local government auditor is proposing an unqualified audit and assessment opinion with no statutory recommendations, but with three proposals for improvement being made. So Section 2.3 in the report details the proposals for improvement. The first is an electronic performance management system. So currently we're the only council in Northern Ireland without an electronic system at the minute. An outline business case has passed the ITPG group, and we are now currently going to procurement, so we're hoping to have a system effective from the 1st of April 2023. The second proposal is the council should consider using internal audit to review performance indicators going forward. So again, this is already in progress at the audit committee in April 2022. The 22-23 internal audit plan was approved, and there is an audit scheduled in January 2023 for the audit, internal audit of performance indicators. And the final proposal was that council should consider providing more detailed narrative to allow the reader to better understand how council has determined the ratings of trends in performance, and especially those with a downward or a sad face. So this is going to be taken on board for next year's assessment. So if members are content, the recommendation is to consider and agree the performance improvement audit and assessment report detailed at Appendix 2. And just to let members know, this report will also be going to the audit committee in January, and the Northern Ireland Audit Office will be presenting the report to the audit committee.
Okay, thank you, Jared. I don't see anybody coming in with any questions, but we do need a proposer and seconder. Oh, Councillor Sharpen has a question, yeah.
Yeah, Chair. Unfortunately, I'm not on the audit committee this year. I'm sure and everyone that is looking after it. But the unqualified opinion from memory is no different than what it was when we were last assessed. Is there anything different that's been flagged from the last time to this time that Jared needed to raise with us that has changed at all?
Councillor Sharman, no, nothing has changed since 2015 when performance improvement has been brought into the new councils. We've always had an unqualified opinion. I suppose the only difference since really COVID was the audit office would normally report on in relation to improvement planning and the publication of improvement information. So since COVID last year and this year, they're unable to assess all councils. Just basically, it's for like the number of people visiting leisure centres or waste targets, for example. So it's all been slightly skewed since COVID. So that's the only disclaimer they have within their report, but it's the same for all 11 councils, and we still have an unqualified opinion.
All right. Thanks, Chair. Thanks, Chair.
Okay. And with a proposal from Councillor Gallagher, can we have a seconder? Seconded by Councillor O'Mara on my screen. Yeah, thanks. Okay. So items 8 to 16 are deemed to be exempt under paragraph 3 of part 1 of the Schedule 6 of the Local Government Act 2014. Information relating to the financial or business affairs of any particular person, including the council holding that information and the public, may by resolution be excluded during this item of business. So if I could ask for a proposer and seconder to go into closed session, please.
Yeah.
Proposed by Councillor McGuinness and seconded by Councillor Sharvin. Thank you. Yeah. Okay, so whilst in committee, the following items were agreed for decision. So item 8, the business case for internal audit provision. On the proposal of Councillor O'Mara, seconded by Councillor Byrne, it was agreed elected members approved to proceed with option 2, outsource internal audit function for the details outlined within the full business case. Item 9, Castlewell and Forest Park, on the proposal of Councillor McMurray and seconded by Councillor Hanlon, it was agreed that elected members approved the budget increase for NL National Heritage. National Lottery Heritage Fund project post for 3 years and associated payroll budget. Item 10, Castlewell and Forest Park, rerouting our past and our future project. On the proposal of Councillor Sharvin, seconded by Councillor McMurray, it was agreed elected members note the project board meetings held on the 16th of September 2022, 14th of October 2022 and the 12th of December 2022. It was also agreed to approve progressing with PQQ and ITT process and appoint an IST. Item 11, lease the lands at Ballynor Road in Downpatrick. On the proposal of Councillor Sharvin, seconded by Councillor Hanlon, it was agreed elected members approved to enter into a lease with the group noted in this report in respect of the lands at Ballynor Road, Downpatrick, as outlined in red on the attached map for a term of 25 years at a market rent, subject to the group receiving an offer of funding within a period of 5 years. Item 12 is the proposed assignment of lease dated the 4th of November 2013 by the trustees of Cross McGlen Rangers, GFC. On the proposal of Councillor O'Mara, seconded by Councillor Byrne, it was agreed elected members approved to the assignment of the lease dated on the 4th of November 2013 to a new corporate tenant which will be controlled by the representatives of Cross McGlen GFC. Item 13, Hourglass Rowing Club. On the proposal of Councillor Hanlon, seconded by Councillor McMurray, it was agreed to defer this item to the January SPNR committee meeting. Item 14, the Newry City Centre Regeneration Funding Agreement. On the proposal of Councillor O'Mara and seconded by Councillor McGuinness, it was agreed elected members consider the contents of the report, the funding agreement attached, and approve the signing of the funding agreement between Belfast City Council and Newry Morningdown District Council in respect of the Newry City Centre Regeneration Projects. for noting. Item 15, the Roving Reporters Pilot Evaluation Report. On the proposal of Councillor McGuinness, seconded by Councillor Mora, it was agreed to note the contents. And item 16, Strategic Finance Working Group Action Sheet of the 16th of November and 2022 and the 7th of December 2022. On the proposal of Councillor McGuinness and seconded by Councillor O'Mara, it was agreed to note the action sheet. Okay, and then item 17, our final item tonight, is the minutes of the New East City Centre Regeneration Programme Board meeting held on the 1st of December 2022. If there's no matters arising, if we could just have a proposer and seconder for that paper. And it's proposed by Councillor McGuinness and seconded by Councillor Byrne. Okay, so that'll close off SPNR for this evening, and wishing you all a very Merry Christmas, because this is probably one of my last meetings until Christmas. So safe home, everybody. Thank you.
Thanks, Chair. Happy Christmas.
Thanks, Chair.
Thank you.